And we're in the 26th chapter of Jeremiah. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Thanks for that reading of Joshua, the 7th verse, 1st chapter. It kind of underlies what has happened with Jeremiah here. We see him, he's kind of morphosized over the time, and he's grown strong here. And this is at the beginning of Jehoiakim's reign. We know that the book is not in chronological order, and that if this was later on in the reign, after, say, chapter 27, which we are about to do next week, chapter 27, Jehoiakim may have been a little bit harsher to him, but we don't hear from Jehoiakim as such in this one, and he had only been on the throne a few months. His brother had been taken off by the Egyptians, and he had been placed on the throne. And we know his brother didn't last but 3 months. This was at the beginning of his reign. But God was giving the people a choice and a decision, because the people were headed fastly down the broad road. They were headed down the way of destruction. And as I was talking about having service in the sanctuary this morning, they looked at their sanctuary as something marvelous in their eyes, something that was set apart by God. They worshiped the temple, in other words. Instead of worshiping at the temple, they worshiped the temple. And as you were saying this morning, the word of God is good wherever you hear it, whether it be outside in open air under the tree or whatever, wherever we hear the word. But when we start replacing the word with things, with people and stuff, we have a problem. And we see here where we have a problem with the religious people. And that's what we have today, just as then. And that's why this Old Testament was given as the example unto us of what they did that we maybe shouldn't do. Some of the things they did, we should do. And we see where, to whom is God's word addressed in this message. It's a rather long chapter, so we're not going to read the whole chapter. We'll come in and out, and I hope it doesn't take away from the flow of the message. It says, verse 1, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came the word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I repent of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not hearken unto me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken unto the words the prophets whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye shall not hearken, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Notice that he was speaking to the people. The priests and the prophets heard it because they were in the house of the Lord also. And God had told them to go right in the temple gates. Go right to the church. Don't preach this to City Hall. Don't go down and preach this out and open it to the people. You preach this to those that come to the church in worship. That's where judgment begins. We should begin our preaching at the house of God. All of the people that come into the city of from the cities of Judah, they would hear his message. Those that come in and worship at the temple, they would hear what thus saith the Lord. Now, the reason he said don't diminish a word is because you had other preachers in those days as you do now. In these days, you have those that preach how nice God is, and that you have favor with God, and that God loves you, and all of the niceties of God. But see, God needed a man whom he could send
who wouldn't add to his word nor take away from his word, but be like Paul and not shun to declare the whole counsel of God. See, along with preaching the blessings of God as they did on the mountains, you have to also preach the curses of God. What happens if you don't follow God's word? These were not a prepared people for the word of God. These people were people that loved to worship God. They loved the worship of God. They loved to hear God's word, the same as people do today. But they don't like to do God's word. They're not followers of God's word. They're content with hearing just the good things that God has said about them. You know, it's like reading something and just skipping over some parts. And I know a lot of people that just love the Psalms, Psalm 23. They pick through the Psalms and they read some of the easier Psalms. They don't pick the Psalms where God shows that he's a terrible God. Let's look at one of the Psalms that they don't pick that was replicative of what we're teaching today. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. This is one Psalm they wouldn't pick if it applied to Jerusalem. If it applied to Israel. If it applied to the Crystal Cathedral. There are many houses of God that don't stand anymore that once stood, that were once vibrant places of worship, but they didn't preach the whole counsel of God. As I preach the good things, I have to preach to you regeneration, that you have to be born again. You need to be born again. You need to be washed of your sins, that you're not just good, that you're terrible. There's nothing good in you, and that you need to change and be changed. That before you come in God's house thinking you somebody, you better realize you're nobody, you're terrible, you're wicked, and you need a Savior. That you need to be cleansed, and you need to have that old wicked heart taken out of your body, regardless of what some jackleg preacher tell you. That it's no good thing in you, and that you need a transformation. That you need to repent and turn from your wicked ways. And stop looking at yourself as being somebody. And humble yourself under the hand of God. Humble yourself under God. Then you'll find out just who is God. How awesome God is. How holy God is. How far short of God do we fall? See, that's why a lot of people have that Phariseeism, that holier than thou way. And they get in church a little while and then they go around thinking that they're more than this person or more than that person. That they're somebody, and that what church they attend and what title they have in the church makes them somebody. And they make you sick in the stomach. They make you sick to be around. And that's why, you know, Jesus didn't hang out with Christians. That's some of the worst people to hang out with a lot of times. Some of the most false, piety-driven people in the world. Christians. Beware. And nothing's more dangerous than somebody that's close to the truth. See, it's good. You can deal with somebody that outright your enemy, outright you know that's kind of bad. But what's deceptive is that person that's a snake in the grass. That'll smile in your face at one minute and stab you in the back at another. That tell you one thing and then tell somebody else a different thing. That's the ones you have to watch. That's why God says, I'll take care of the hypocrites. Psalms 78. Let's start at the 56th verse. It says, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. God had brought them from Egypt. He had saved them out of sin. They didn't realize just what God had saved them from because they hadn't been tested like a lot of people nowadays. They're born with silver spoons in their mouths. They hadn't went through persecution. They hadn't went through anything. They just come in and confess Christ and they live, but it's no conversion to them. It's no spirit in them. They just a lot of talk, you know, a lot of, I love Jesus and this about Jesus. It just makes me just, man, get away from around me. You see, what happened is they didn't realize how bad they were. That's why they treat people the way they are because they think they're cut above. They like Judah was, like the children of Israel. They thought they were special because God chose them. And they didn't even realize God hadn't even given them a heart to believe in him. They didn't even have a heart to believe God. He says, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They weren't any better than their fathers was. He says they were turned aside like a deceitful bow. He says, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, places of worship, places they built to worship him, places where they went in and called upon his name. It's in Isaiah, he said, you know, your solemn assembly stink in my nostrils. You're bringing your tithes and offer all this stink away from me. I don't even want to hear your prayers. You didn't got to where I don't want to hear anything you said. Turn my back to you. I'm turn my face away from hearing you because it's all garbage. You honor me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. He told him, he says, for they moved him to jealousy with their graven images, with the other things in their line. They would say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, but they didn't order the Lord of the temple. They didn't order the Lord that was over the temple in which we had created the temple for. He says, when God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. He abhorred them. He says, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he had placed among men, the very temple I placed among you, I forsake it. I'm going to leave it behind. How many churches today have God walked away from? Once flourishing churches, once couldn't hold the capacity of people that was coming in it. They had to build. And that's nothing. They're mosque now. They're home to other worship. They're home to different types of businesses. They're no longer a church. They're no longer what God had placed them there to be because they took it for granted. They were invested in the building and not the builder. Not the builder. They wasn't invested in God. So he says, and delivered his strength into the captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword and was wroth with their inheritance. The fire consumed their young men and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword and their widows made lamentations for them. In other words, those are psalms that people don't want to hear because it's psalms that, see, you've been tried and tested and you've been found wanting. You've been found lacking when it came to pressure time. When it came to what's first in your life, I wasn't the first one. I didn't have preeminence in your life. So God says, look, Jeremiah, you go tell them these things, and perhaps they'll hear. Maybe they'll hear and turn from their sin. But if they don't, woe be unto them. I'm going to destroy where they worship at. I'm going to destroy their place where they go to listen at what I preach and teach. Because their hearts are not right. They're not following me wholly. They're not wholly following me. He says, so the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words of the house in the house of the Lord. He come in there preaching against that house, against that temple. The glass crystal cathedral in California, in which they had built was a fabulous tabernacle. It went into bankruptcy. It went into bankruptcy. The son had it. The father put the son out, gave it to the daughter. The daughter had it, and it went bankrupt. There are temples of God. It's just like in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, where he said he's going to fight against the churches. Some churches, what happened, they start letting up in some areas. They start getting slack. And God points to them. You know, that's why this place had become desolate. You know, I sit back and watch all type doctrines being preached here. I watch all different types of things go on with the ministry here. Yeah, God has to place his hand upon that. But see, God wounds, but he can heal. And if we come back and apply ourselves fully, God could make this flourish once again. But see, we have to be better than our fathers. We have to be better than those that went before us. We have to be a people that do things to please God. Not just doing things to do things. And we have to know right from wrong. But these people, they were very wroth at Jeremiah. And it says, now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets, all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. That's the way we are here in this nation, in this place. You say something against some of the favorite institutions of this place. You know, you can't play a good ball game in some stadiums here because the fans are so fanatic about the team, and it's not about the game to you dishonor your opponent. You dishonor everything about the game. In the game, that's why I don't even watch sports hardly anymore. Very seldom do I watch. Because it shows man is nothing but an animal that's no good thing in man, and he's driven by worship. And that's worship of man. That's worship of self and of things. Stay out of it, sports. The nation's sports have gone to the pits. The nation has gone. That's why he said, love not the world and the things of the world. See, that's how you escape the world, because God started opening your eyes to the world and see that the things of the world are a wicked and an evil, because it's a satanic driven world. It's Satan's world. Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, and they've all drunken of the cup of his wrath. Of the cup of Satan, he has influenced the whole world. It says the whole world wandering after the beast. It's only God's people that stand up, and those that God give favor with him. Among these people, there was some wise. God always puts some wisdom in some places. So happened that it was that some of the elders and some of the Gentile leaders were smart. And we will see that. Because, like I say, the church is the quickest one to shoot their wounded. They're not going to stand by their members. That's why you shouldn't put a pastor in office. You shouldn't put a deacon in office. You shouldn't place a person in office if you're not going to be able to stand by. If you're not going to be able to pray for him and strengthen him, you shouldn't take one into the church. Because we are to love one another. If it happens to one, it happens to us all. So we shouldn't be against one another. We shouldn't murmur and complain and be given to disputes. We should stand for one another. See, if your heart has that in it, your heart needs to be purged of those things. I need your prayer. I don't know if you're praying for me every day. You should be if you're not. I don't know if you're praying for one another every day, but you should be if you're not. I don't know if you're interceding for your leaders in this nation, but you should be if you're not. That's when you see that God's working in your heart. But if it's on the things of the world and consistently bringing down the people of the world, you have a problem. You have a problem. We're not warring against flesh and blood here. So the wise counsel that was among Jeremiah, among the people at this time, we hear from him in verse 10. 16 and 24. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house and unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Let us come here, because that's where judgment is in the gates of the Lord's house. These not necessarily were the children of the kings. When it says princes, that means the rulers, the leaders, the ones, the older, the elders of the tribes, the people that were running things, some of the civil rulers, some of those that knew about separation of church and state. That's why this nation was formed as it was. God had his hand in it, and seeing we had to have a separation of church and state, it couldn't be like in the Roman era. That's what happened in Europe It was the Catholic Church that wielded the sword of government. And once you unite church and state, you have a beast world system. Just think if the civil rulers would have went along with these religious people. If we go along with the religious people in this nation, those that call themselves Christian, woe be unto us. Woe be unto us, because this is a beast world system. If you look at Christianity, special in some of the so-called Bible Belt people, the gun toters, the ones that always criticizing and knocking somebody down. Your Christianity shows. It's on your shirt sleeve. You have the mark of the beast upon you because it's in your forehead. You have that mark. God's people can see those that mourn and sigh for the nation, but he also can see those that have God's mark upon them, and they see those that have the mark of the beast upon them. But the nations don't see them. The people don't go with the popular crowd. The crowd is always wrong, mostly. What's popular, what's hot, stay away from that. People are fickle. They're going to be on whatever side's winning. They're not stable. They're not solid in mind. It says, then the princes said unto all the people and unto the priests and the prophets, after they heard what it says. It says, verse 16, this man is not worthy to die for what he had spoken in the name of the Lord. You heard what the priest said? I mean, the elder said that Jeremiah had repeated it when they came down. They came down in verse 10. He repeated what he said. He says, this spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to the people, saying, this man is worthy to die. That's the religious, Caiaphas, the high priest, as it was during the time of Jesus, because they wanted to put Jesus to death for speaking against the temple. They say, this man said that he'll destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. They even misunderstood what Jesus said. They said, this man is worthy to death, and we want to put him to death. What did the Gentile ruler say? What Pilate said? Pilate said the same thing they said here. I tell you, the Bible repeats itself. Pilate says, I find nothing in this man worthy of death. He find no fault in Jesus. That was a Gentile leader, and these were the Jewish people that put him to death. He says, your own people that put you to death. It's your own people hollering, crucify. It's going to be your own, the enemies, your enemies going to be those of your household. Those that, just like David's son, it was his son trying to kill him. God told you it's going to be your own people that, because if you give in to them, if you stand against them, they're going to want you dead. And if you acquiesce to them, God's going to cause them to kill you because you're in idolatry. You have to stand your ground somewhere. Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Because if you're standing with the world and the things of the world, you will fall. But see, Jeremiah is standing his ground in the Lord here. Jesus stood his ground in the Lord. Stephen stood his ground in the Lord. Why did they stone Stephen? He was a deacon, but he preached against the temple. And they stoned him. That was a religious mob. See, they didn't even have the power to put anybody to death. It was the Romans who decided who was going to die. So it was a mob action. It was the Pharisees. It was the Sanhedrin council that killed Stephen. They had provoked him to death, to be killed. But as Jeremiah spoke to the people, and he says, then spake, verse 12, then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against the city and all the words that ye have heard. And now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he had pronounced against you. Huh? You heard what he said? Was that something worthy to die? No, it wasn't. That's what the princes said. You see, among each group, you got your Joseph of Arimathea. You have your Nicodemuses, people that know, have a heart toward God. God bends that heart toward him. So it's not always everybody in the group that's against you. it was a lot of these leaders knew that that administration wasn't like Josiah's administration. Josiah had just died, I told you, 4 or 5 months earlier. It was men that was in his father's administration that stood for good and was trying to reform the nation. But I told you, it was the religious leaders that took it in the wrong direction. United States have leaders at this time. They have people that are trying to put the nation on the right track. But the religious leaders are trying to get us to oppress the poor. The religious leaders are trying to get us to abandon the children. It's the religious leaders that are doing this at this time. There are those that are not in the church that see these things and seeing the wickedness that lie in Christianity. And it's the religious leaders that have adopted every pagan god out there. They have adopted and drug in Super Bowl, Christmas, Easter, every pagan holiday under the sun, they have drug it into the church. And then they jump up and holler, man, we can't let this movie out. We're going to boycott this. The Da Vinci Code come out and it's going to tear Christianity apart. If you allow this movie to come out, you have a religion that a movie's gonna tear apart? Now, watch it when we start going against printed speech and violating other speech, because what happens when they start violating our speech? You see, Christian people are the first ones to holler somebody persecuting them because of their religion, but they're the first one to throw a stone when they want their judgment to go their way. See, that's why you have to watch it when you holler, we want to be Christian-led. It's the Christian-led people that can change God's day of worship. There's going to come a time when they're going to try to force Sunday worship upon us. See, you have to watch it when you go to try to legislate morality. When you try to legislate God's word, it doesn't work that way. God's word doesn't work by intellect and by knowledge. It works by God's spirit. By being born again, God gives you faith to believe his word. I don't care what position you're in or where you preach and teach at. If the spirit of the Lord ain't in it, you build a house in vain. You build God's house in vain. God don't need you to build his house now. God builds his own. He don't need you for anything. You can't put yourself in that position where you cripple God. We need God. We need God more than we realize we need God. And you see, the elder spoke up and says, this man is not worthy of death. They give two examples. They give example of one of the men during the time of Hezekiah. And he rose up and says, the verse 17th, then rose up certain elders of the land and spake to all of the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morishite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake unto all the people of Judah, thus saith the Lord of hosts of Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the Lord's house as a place, high place of a forest. Now look at here. This is one of the few examples here in the Old Testament where we have a prophet quoting another prophet of the Old Testament. This is the prophet Micah that they quoted, that he had prophesied against Israel. It says, when he prophesied against Israel or Judah, did Hezekiah put him to death? No, he didn't. Because Micah said he wasn't a prophet, that God had sent him to prophesy. Now, here's another example of early in the reign of Jehoiakim that they give, where Jehoiakim had Urijah put to death. Now, a lot of people, if you look at the 20th verse, and there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words. And Jehoiakim and with sent into Egypt and had his men to bring him from Egypt, and they kill him. Now, a lot of people go hard on Urijah here and say that he shouldn't have ran when he prophesied in the name of the Lord, and that was one of the reasons he got killed, because he ran. That's not scripturally sound theology there. That's not scripturally sound. Because we know that Elijah prophesied in the name of the Lord, and he ran when Jezebel got after him. We know that Jesus left a city when the crowd arose and tried to kill him. He walked right through the crowd. He says that they leave those cities because someone would try to kill them. We know Paul was let down in a basket and fled the city. So we have to go about how God tells us or what God's leading us. We can't go to the theology of that stand when God don't tell you to stand. See, he had told Jeremiah to stand. If we go back to the first chapter, he had told Jeremiah not to be confused, not to be confounded, and to stand and speak all that he said speak. He was going to be as a brazen wall, and that they were going to do these things, but they wasn't going to prevail over him. See, that was a personal prophecy of speaking to Jeremiah what he was going to do. That's why he said, be of strong and of a good courage. That's why we have to stand in this day and time. Unless God tell us otherwise, we have to be a witness of God's word. See, the people that were coming into that temple and Jeremiah were prophesying his word, they were taking it back, telling it to other people. And you see, that's why our witness failed. If we're not taking what we hear in here out on the street, if we're not preaching and teaching and witnessing of that, we're not doing what God created us to do. We're not being a light. If you compromise this doctrine here with somebody's doctrine that's on the job just because they're a Christian, you got a problem. See, most of the people around me know by now, well, we don't sit around and talk about Easter and Christmas. I don't agree with you on that. But if you sit down and go along with them, they're not going to stand. You're not going to have weight of what you say in a day of adversity. They're not going to respect you. That's why a lot of men not being respected in their home is because they go along with their wives. They go along with the people in the neighborhood. They go along with the world. You see, when Lot came and he had God's word from the angels and it says, look, rise up and get out of here. What did his sons-in-law and daughters and things do to him? They looked and laughed and mocked at him as one that was a fool. That's why a lot of us don't have any weight in our families, is because what we say don't matter anyhow. A lot of time what mom say outweighs what dad say. They will go along with what the woman said. You don't have any weight in that house. You don't have any authority. That final hammer drops with her. That final religious decree drops with her. But you ought to be like Lot when he fled. He didn't look back. He did what God said. She was a pillar of salt. That was her problem. That wasn't his problem. God told her not to look back. Now, he'd have been a fool if he'd have went back trying to save her. God didn't tell you to save yourself from this untoward generation. With fear and trembling, work out your own salvation. See, when you preach God's word, you have to let it go. Whoever it hit. And whoever Jeremiah preached his word to, if you didn't fit the word was going to fall on you. You could be mashed by the word. The word has finality. And we see where Jeremiah was strong. He let me talk about a weeping prophet. Look at Jeremiah, how he stands in this. Look at the strength and endurance he had. He was going to be a martyr like Stephen if he had to be a martyr. He was going to be a martyr like Jesus Christ if they had to kill him. Are we going to be martyrs? Are we going to stand the way God told us to stand? Are we going to not be strong and courageous? You're going to have persecution in this life. Let's listen to Jeremiah here, how he stands, how he gets stronger. Verse 14, he says, as for me, behold, I'm in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if you put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord had sent me unto you to speak all these words in your hearing. Now, does that seem like the weeping prophet A lot of people talking about the weeping and weak. See, it takes a strong man. You have to be strong. You have to be strong for the Lord and of a good courage. You have to be as the church in Smyrna. If you go to Revelations 2 and 10, God speaks to the church in Smyrna. And as he's speaking to that church, he told them that he knew what they were going through. It's a lot of us. God knows what you're going through. In your home, on your job, wherever you're at. But see, you losing the opportunity to grow in the Lord. You losing the opportunity to grow the church of God. You losing the opportunity to bring your children to God. You losing the opportunity to bring your family to God. Because you keep acquiescing and tolerating sin in your life and tolerating the sin they do. You know, your children, your spouse, people on your job or wherever go try you and keep trying you till they wear you down. It's only when you start walking in making the world line up with you. See, that's what preaching the gospel does. It lines the world up. Because what it is, it puts them on the edge of the sword that they're going against God. So all you have to do is speak the word of God. God knows if you're his representative or not. Only God knows. And they will have to recognize the voice. They'll start recognizing that in you if it's truly in you. But you can't do this and be involved in the world. Like I say, you can get behind the pulpit or you can go out there witnessing, preaching and teaching all you want and say as much as the word of God you are. But if that's not truly who you are and what you're living, it ain't going to mean a hill of beans to nobody. It's not going to be a hill of beans because it's not going to be any power in it. Listen at this. He says, verse 8, and unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which is dead and is alive. I know your works, your tribulation and poverty. That you rich, you don't really understand the richness that you hold. You may not have it in financial backings. You may not see it in prosperity, a material thing. But you're rich because you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And he had called you for a purpose. He says, if any among you desire to be great, let him be as your minister. Are you ministering to your family? Are you ministering to them? Now, ministering doesn't necessarily mean teaching as such all the time. When you minister to the needs of the people, you see, because Jesus, when he ministered to the disciples, what he did, he got out and washed their feet. He says that if any great, let him become a servant unto you. And he washed his disciples' feet. That's what made him strong, is that he humbled himself unto God and did those things that were pleasing unto God. You see, it's not always wise to pop off at your spouse or at your children. Sometimes you have to ask God how to handle that. And it might mean the hammer dropping on her or him or that child like a ton of bricks. Like a ton of bricks. But it's the only way it's going to line up with God. Because you've done all you can do. See, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. See, you will want to work this out physically. But it doesn't work that way. You have to turn it over to God. Let him straighten your children out. Let him straighten situations. Lord, I've done all I could and tried to do this right. But it's in your hand. Now tell me how to act like this. Tell me how to do this. God's going to reaffirm this to you. But you got to let your hands go of that. Sometimes it's going to look like they didn't kill you. That's what they did, Jesus, on the cross. They murdered him on the cross. But it was him who rose up and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. See, you're going to look like you're losing this thing. But you just got to hang your head and walk off, see. Because the battle is not always over with that action. There's wheels working in future. There's wheels working in the spiritual world. Physically, I've lost this thing and everybody thought it was over. But God's working behind the scene. He's working in their conscience. He's working on their heart. He has something rooted on and going on. And see, you're obedient unto God. If you would just hold your peace and let the Lord fight that battle, victory shall be yours. That's how you just have to stand your ground in the Lord. But you can't drink of the devil's cup. You can't do wrong. You can't abuse people. You can't get out of God's word and intend on God showing up in that situation to peace, bring peace in that situation, or to bring glory in that situation, because he can't establish you in wickedness. He has to establish you in the word of God. You have to be established in doing right. That's why Paul says, shall we do evil and good come of it? It can't be established that way. He's going to have to open up your eyes and you see that your way can't work. It's a contradiction of God for it to work out your way. That you will have to allow him to work this out. That you will have to crucify self. You will have to mortify the deeds of this old body, that sin doesn't reign in that body, to be able to stand strong. Paul says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. You know, when you turn things over to the Lord, we just say, I'm not going to argue with you, or walk away, or just let things go. Look at Acts. We'll come to a conclusion in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter. This is one of the smartest Pharisees that it was. He was on the Sanhedrin council. This is one of the ones Paul set at his feet to listen and to learn. They had told the disciples about preaching in Jesus' name, and they still went about preaching in Jesus' name. You know, the world has told us about doing things, but we got to still do what God tells us to do. But we have to realize that God has that person that may not be in the church. He may be a Gentile. He may be of any other vice. That's sitting there waiting to help you out. Verse 29, Acts chapter 5. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hung on a tree. Him had God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and for forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them that obey him. God only gives his spirit to his children, to those that are obedient unto him. And this council scene, there was something different from Peter at this word. See, because Peter had gotten away from works. Peter had gotten away from just popping off and saying the first thing that comes in his mouth. He waited and let the Lord lead his speech. He was quick to hear and slow to speak. So this was seasoned counsel he was giving them. He was being led by the Spirit of God. Are we being led by the Spirit of God today? You see, Peter, he's one here that allows his word to soak in and let God fight his own battles. I told you last week, we had a message, the battle is the Lord's. We just instrument of God. And whether God allows us to lose our life, it's not our concern. He says, don't worry about him that can destroy the body. See, we just concerned with doing what pleases God. And after God had led Peter to stand up in that council and tell them and says, look, we ought to obey God instead of man. This wasn't the man who ran away. This wasn't the man who cut the soldier's ear off in defense of himself. This wasn't the man who denied Jesus 3 times. You can't be the way you used to live. You can't be the old man. That old man has to die. Stop handling things the way you've been handling it. Peter says, we have to stop going around doing all these works. We can't feed the widows. We can't do all these things. Let's appoint other people to do this. We have to be given to study and to the word of God. Have we studied to show ourselves approved? Is that what we're doing since we've been born again? What has the most of your life? Have you given up on your works? Do you read the papers that you get? All the little papers that we get. Are we reading the scriptures? Are we consistently studying God's word? God wants to use you. God, but to be great, you have to be a minister. But before you could minister, you have to have God's word in you. It's according to God's word is your strength. That's where your word is. He says, study the scriptures, Timothy. They're able to make you wise unto salvation. That way you won't cast off the Old Testament. Because he has two witnesses, the old and the new. All those, all scripture are given for the prophet. You know, they're profitable. All scripture is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instructions. But he says, then stood there up one in the midst of the council, a Pharisee. This man was a Pharisee and he was a teacher. His name was Gamaliel. He stood up. He was a doctor of the law. A doctor meant something in those days. He studied the law. He taught Paul the law. He taught others the law. We have to be able to teach other God's law. Are we a teachers of God's law? Are we patient and amped to teach others? That's how we become a witness of God. He says, he was had in reputation among all people and commanded to the put the apostles forth a little space. Look, go easy on these guys. Go easy on Peter, James, John, on all these apostles. Watch what you're doing, he says. He says, for before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. There have been other churches to come up, other people preaching and teaching. Those things come to naught, he says. Those leaders come to naught, he says. After that man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing and drew away much people after him. So it's always been people going against taxes and rebelling against paying the government. But we know God says be subject to those who have rule and authority over you. We know Jesus Christ paid taxes and we know that's the way the government exists to do things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. It has to be a community effort. That's why God has governments established throughout the earth. They wield the power of God. Citizens can't build bridges whereas government build bridges and streets. Government handle community services. This man was a wise man. You see, if it's up to religious, these religious fanatics, they'll cast off all science, all government, and all these people have preaching against doctors. Our faith is not in doctors, it's in God. I wouldn't go into no surgery. I've had countless numbers of surgery, but I would be thinking that God's with me in that surgery. I would be thinking that God's with that doctor in that surgery. My faith would be in God that he would wake me up out of that surgery. It's not the anesthesiologist that does it. God does it through the anesthesiologist. I've almost didn't made through one service because of blood clots. And if I hadn't have been in the hospital, they say I'd have died. I say if I hadn't had God, I'd have died because he had some other purpose for me. It wasn't my time. And that God's in control wherever I'm at and whatever I do. And this is what Gamaliel's seen in that. Don't kick against everything. They're anti out there. Everybody, everything you say, they're against something. They're against every TV program. They're against anything you do. I wouldn't do that. That's the devil. They like the guy on Waterboy or something, his mama was. Everything is the devil. Everything is not the devil. God created things. God made things. But the devil perverts things. He says, and now I say to you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of the Lord and let them go. They still had to put their little dew in there and beat him. You know, Pilate still had to scourge Jesus. But they said, okay, this is not from God. So we don't preach against this man's ministry. We don't need to get up and belittle this preacher or belittle whatever religions out there. We don't have to do those things. If it's not of God, it'll come to naught. We don't have to be worried about it. Stop worrying about other things. You can't solve the world's problems. You can't solve world hunger. You can't solve world poverty. Jesus said, the poor you can have with you all the time. But you can do what God told you to do. You can stand your ground. You can preach and teach what God told you to do. Are you doing that little thing? See, I told you it was the little foxes that destroy the vine. You're not going to be able to do great things for God until you start doing the little things for God. And it starts with self. It starts with crucifying self. It starts with taking heed to the word of God. So he let him destroy that temple. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again. That's the attitude we have. They go, Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot. But we know that nothing, the gates of hell should not prevail against God's church. We know that. We believe God's word. Stand your ground on that. Stand for the doctrine that we preach. Stand for the doctrine that you've learned. Don't be unstable. Don't be double-minded. God's not going to give you anything and you're not going to grow. You're not going to become a powerhouse of your own home. If you would stand in God, you could become a powerhouse over your own home. Then you could lead in the house of God. But you can't, he says, let a man not rule in the house of God. He can't get his own house under subjection. We have to start at home. Charity begins at home. Start with ourselves. As we whip ourselves in order, God's going to make our enemies be at peace. He's going to make everything in the home line up. He'll make things that ain't right move out if necessary. That's the power of his word. Stand on his word. If we would just stand in God. Jeremiah stood here. This wasn't a weeping prophet over himself. Do what you want to do with me, he said. Let them do what they want. You just declare God's word. They crucified. That was the cup. He says, I'll drink the cup. Shall I not drink the cup God given me? If I know these be the words of God, well, stand on them. Heavenly Father, help us to stand in your words, Lord God. Help us to take heed unto your word. As the message is delivered on us to us, Lord God, let us diminish not a word, Father. Lord God, let us come unto you this day, Lord God, that you would open up our eyes and our understanding, that we would understand the scriptures and that we would be able to give it to others, Lord God, in the stand and live a life according to the word of God. God, help us to be doers of your word and help us to establish your law through faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.